Greetings, user defenders. I have with me today Jeffrey Zeldman and Eric Meyer, and we are going to discuss an event apart in Denver specifically, but I definitely want to get a history and kind of get a roundabout feel of what this conference is all about and the vast impact that it's made throughout the decade, I think, plus that it's been going on. So welcome, Jeffrey. Welcome, Eric, to User Defenders, this very special episode about an event apart.
Howdy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing quite well. It's wonderful to have you guys here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to talk about an event apart, and I know many of our defenders, I'd be so surprised if a lot of the defenders listening haven't heard of an event apart, but for those that may not have, and maybe new listeners to the show, I'd love to just kind of talk about an event apart. Could you give us a brief origin story, maybe history of an event apart?
Sure, Eric. Event apart's 3 days of design, code and content for web, UX, and interaction designers, developers, designers, hybrids, project managers all attend, which gives you an idea of the sort of holistic nature of it, because it's a single track event and it's fairly intimate, 500 people or less. We do it in a few great cities a year. And how it started, Eric and I kept showing up on the same speaking circuits. And in particular, we would always meet at South by Southwest Interactive every year. And you know South by Southwest, it's a huge show. I mean, even then it was a big show. It was a wonderful big show with many, many tracks. But we would meet for an annual breakfast and we would say to each other, I'd like to do a different kind of show. We're always speaking. I'd like to do the kind of show that I'd like to attend where there's just one track. Am I getting that right or have I romanced it too much?
I think that's more or less right. I mean, to some degree, I think it started from that we had been going to a bunch of these conferences, like you say, and then some of them were not. Let's say that they weren't done with the community in mind. They were done with, you know, turning
sponsors,
a profit, right? The sponsors turning a profit for the business that was running them, whatever. So some of them were not the best experiences. And but I think what really, and that was a frustration, but I think what we really started to talk about was how we were the web guys who were brought into these trade shows. South by Southwest, not necessarily so much that,
no.
But like Jeffrey would be asked to speak at, you know, a photography conference or whatever, because, and this is the early 2000s, you know, the whoever was running the conference would say, I've heard about this web thing and I'm going to ask my, you know, people I know if they know somebody who talks about web things. And, you know, people like Jeffrey or Jeffine or me might get tapped to come speak. But basically, what we said to each other over breakfast at some point was, why is there no conference for people like us? People who can write HTML, can write CSS by hand, and yet also care about design, care about doing this stuff correctly, right? Not just any... Mm-hmm. You know, blotch of nested tables, but like cared about web standards and that sort of thing. There was no conference like that. And so we thought.
That's right. There were these big, huge conferences that attracted people who were under tremendous pressure with their heads down, told to crank out 100 sites, you know, a minute. And we're using every trick in the book. We're using Flash. We're using table layouts. We're grabbing code from the web. And then there was this other group of people who had, let's say, the privilege to work just at a slightly slower pace and think about what they were doing and go, what are we building here? What are we making here? What should we be doing? And some of those people were a List Apart readers, because the List Apart community helped sort of create this. Some of those people were List Apart writers. We knew there were people like us who had written books or made something cool, like Dave Shea had made CSS EndGarden and really changed things up. And we thought, what if we had a conference with people like that? And we talked about this thing of hybrid interest, right? For the person who's not afraid of CSS and also cares about typography, because we know they're out there, right? We know we exist. And it's never going to be a giant conference with 7,000 tracks, and that's okay. And it's maybe never going to attract. It ended up, we did attract some really cool sponsors. But in the beginning, we didn't think or care about that. It was just, maybe we can have this little almost group of friends, this little tribal thing happen where our first gig was in Philadelphia with 120 attendees in a little room. We did our own slide projection, right? We had a friend bring his mics. It was really, let's hey kids, let's put on a show.
It really was. It reminded me of those little rascal things or whatever. Let's do a Broadway production in Grandpa's barn. It's like, okay, I'll paint the backdrops, all that kind of stuff. It was really, really cute.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I actually saw an article. There's been a couple of articles written recently of attendees who have been at an event apart, and just a couple that have been highlighted recently, really inspiring. One particular, and the title was "An Event Apart: A Very Human Experience." And you guys touched on the community aspect, and that's where it all started, and that's where it still is with you guys with this event and with A List Apart and everything that's happening there. And by the way, I commend you for this revolution in A List Apart, and I encourage defenders listening, check it out and support what Jeffrey's doing over there and Eric and all the folks that work so hard to bring this great content. But it's all about the people, and I love that, and I especially there's a couple of things that I highlighted in this article here, and it reinforces that message. And one of the things she said, I couldn't help but sense a theme throughout the whole conference: humans matter. Session after session highlighted the end user and our responsibility to improve engagement, empathy, and connection. Whether the speaker was talking about breathing personality into a site through a unique brand voice, or how research can reveal surprising user behavior, or better ways to work with cross-functional teams, or even how to design for users with disabilities, the notion of real people took center stage. I love that. I think that, does that not encapsulate just kind of what the conference is about?
Yeah, and especially recently, this has been a sort of a trend in the last year or two of talking about this. You know, there was the phase before this of we need to have empathy for our users so we can understand how to sell them stuff better, or you know, get them to where they need to be. And there's been this evolution to, we really need to think about not just have empathy, but as Karen McGrain says, you don't just have empathy, you have actually compassion for the people you're designing for, not just the single sort of archetypal idealized version of who you're designing for, like a whole huge range of them, and thinking about things like, you know, hey, how could this actually come off completely wrong? Like this thing that I'm doing that I think is going to be so funny, are there situations in which it will actually be very hurtful? Is just one example. I mean, you know, and you know, this cool interaction that I'm designing, is it going to be completely inaccessible? And there's been a lot of discussion around that in the last couple of years. I like to think in part because we made it center stage, and that's participated in the sort of wider conversation. But you know, that's what a lot of people are really thinking about now is not just the, you know, what cool stuff can we do, but what responsibility do we have in, you know, when we create.
Yeah, I think bringing and you and Sarah Watcher-Butcher with your book about compassionate design had a lot to do with that too, shaping that discussion. I think a lot of folks in the accessibility community are talking more about inclusion, because it makes it less of a technical issue, because I think some people go like, what tag do I need? Or am I passing this test? Like, you know, there are ways you can like run a site through a WCAG test and go, oh, well, we're passing at WCAG level 2. And that's great. But have you also tried it on people and seen different kinds of people and made sure that it actually works? Because you can always, you know, comply with the letter and miss an important point. I also think we're in the industry goes between technical periods and humanitarian periods, and it's just a pendulum for in our field. So a few years ago, say as the iPhone came and changed everything, and people began you know, freaking out and talking about mobile sites. And then on our stage, Ethan Marcotte introduced responsive web design. And that became like one of the fastest, maybe the very fastest industry-wide change I've ever seen in 20 years of doing this. Everyone got it. And at first that was a design challenge and it was a technical challenge. But then, again, led by Ethan, people started talking about it as a, okay, and by Karen McGrain, who Eric mentioned, what about the content? Does responsive design mean have meaning for content? Does it have meaning to the organization that practices it? You can't, maybe you can't just put in breakpoints and be done. Maybe there's something more human about this. And I think we're in that, and maybe we're starting to peak on the humanitarian, and we might go into a little period where we're focusing on, you know, progressive web apps and audio interfaces and things like that. But I think now we can never have those conversations without also having a very human conversation. We can't just look at any of these things as purely technical challenges or purely visually aesthetic challenges. We have to always look at them as for the user first, for the human first.
That's so good. And I can just imagine being in the audience that day that Ethan gave that presentation. In fact, and I think in Matt's film, there's some folks talking about that, like the eyes just open wide whenever he was on, and this happened on an Event Apart stage and in the audience. And I think that's another, just one of the neat things about this conference and the differences that are made and the difference that it has made and continues to. And now it's, you know, with CSS Grid and, you know, two of the authorities on that new innovation are an Event Apart speakers. And I feel like that's another really huge revolution that's kind of taken place on the Event Apart stage. And I think I read a statistic somewhat like 68-70% already have adopted the CSS Grid, like the fastest adoption, kind of like responsive web design. So it's pretty incredible stuff.
Technically, in terms of technical adoption, like I would say even faster, because literally five browsers picked up Grid support in the space of, I think, 3 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
In March.
Yeah.
But that's browser adoption. There's actual industry adoption, which has not been a 3 week period. We'll see how it goes. It's been interesting, sort of watching and participating to some degree in the conversation around Grid. There's a lot of reluctance, I think, from people who hear about this and they're, you know, it's like CSS Grid is now supported in browsers, and they're like, great, so that means I can use it in 3 years, because that's what we're used to. Yeah. But that's not actually what's happening here. Mm-hmm. It's actually usable right now. I have used it in production, and I've created production ready stuff for my own edification. And I know that, like, the New York Times is using it in not on their homepage, I don't think, but in a thing that they're doing, like a gallery kind of deal. I mean, it's there, and the great thing with feature queries, the at supports structure, is that you can add Grid to your site and not lose all your old stuff. It's not like that shift from tables to CSS where you had to just get rid of all the table markup and only use CSS and hope beyond hope that enough people would get it. It's not like that anymore. There's a lot more nuance in the field.
Right. Mm. One of the things,
yes,
Rachel and Jen, you spoke of, they've been incredible evangelists, and we've been thrilled to have them basically every show for the last 2 years talking about it. But one of the things Rachel is great at teaching is that it doesn't mean that you stop using Flexbox or that you stop using floats. It means we have all these tools now.
Right.
And although there's still a major browser that it's not in yet, there's an easy set of fallbacks that basically you can use it now, as Eric said.
Yeah.
And soon, and Jen Simmons has been saying, and I think this is just wonderful and can't be said enough, there are people, it's funny because there are people who go, oh, I don't want to learn this new thing. but they love to use new tools. It's like, oh, great. Here's like a new thing. It's like Bootstrap, but it does this other thing. But I have to learn all these, you know, column names and just get comfortable with that. So I'll do that. But then you go, well, here's the CSS grid. It's actually designed to do layouts. It's just this weird preference of products, even community products, over this simple language. But I think that's going to change. Like Eric said, I think, and in large part, we can thank these two ladies. They've just been amazing promoting this.
Yeah, and I will say that one major browser that doesn't have the grid support, they're almost ready to ship.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, Edge.
Yeah, it'll be coming. I think it's supposed to be within the next month.
So now, how many more events do we have at this point? Is San Francisco, did that happen yet?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so we have San Francisco, and then we have Denver, yes?
Yes.
And Denver's a three-day extravaganza with 18 speakers, plus you. And
yay.
I was going to say magicians and jugglers, but we don't have those. But it's really, you know, it's pretty, your head will explode, I think is how I'm looking at that. I mean, 18 amazing speakers and events just in Denver where there's no oxygen because you're so high up.
So what makes it, you touched on it already, Jeffrey, what makes this a very special edition?
Eric? Do you want to?
I can take it. Yeah, like Jeffrey said, it's 18 people. We have the User Defenders podcast you may have heard of. They're going to be doing a live show. It's going to be really cool.
Yes. Awesome. I'm so stoked.
Yeah, I'm actually
live
really looking forward to that.
Live and in person.
Live and in person.
Yes.
Yep, exactly.
First time ever. First time ever in Denver for you guys. First time ever live and in person for me.
First time ever for our show. We both spoken in Denver and.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yes.
I've actually never spoken in Denver. I've only been to Denver once for a college friend's wedding 25 years ago, something like that. I've connected through Denver since. But anyway.
And I've been to the Haunted Hotel.
Oh, yes. What the heck is that called?
The Shining Hotel.
Yeah, we're not going to do the show there, although we did.
We thought about it.
Yeah.
On that, but anyway. Another thing that's going to make the show great is, it's the speakers and the attendees, but we're going to have 18, which is 50% more than usual. So it's 50% more awesome.
Right.
Some of them are new voices for our stage. People like Donna Lishaw and Daniel Burka. People who haven't been up there for a while, like Cassie McDaniel and Christina Halverson, Luke Verbluski, who a lot of people know from his past talks, but he hasn't been doing a lot of talking recently. And then, people who've been talking about stuff for us all year, like Rachel Andrew and Jen Simmons that we mentioned before, Val Head, Chris Coyer, Derek Featherstone. And I'm not getting to everybody because, a list of 18 names gets a little tiresome. Yeah. That's what, about half of our speakers. And we're, as is usually the case, we're covering like all the angles. We're talking about the design, the user experience, the nuts and bolts of the new technologies, ways of using them properly, things to watch out for. Una Kravitz, for example, talking about image optimization, but not just, it's not an hour of, hey, use image optim, right? That would be a boring hour. She actually has a really great talk where she mentions image optim, but she talks about, like, she kind of gets a little bit into the details of, here is how images are actually compressed, and here are like the ways you can exploit that. And hey, here are also some CSS properties that allow you to compress your images down further and then do these artistic effects because you're sort of using image plus CSS, right? Those kinds of things. It's that overall holistic thing that Jeffrey was talking about that we've always tried to do, where people, we get a look at the industry from all angles and yet still come away with a whole bunch of immediately practical takeaways to go back, like immediately go back to the office and say, like, I'm going to make our website more efficient and I'm going to make my CSS more awesome and our layout cooler because of these things I just learned.
Absolutely. And yeah. Because we're single track and always have been,
yeah.
we're able to curate the experience kind of like a playlist. And so there may be a morning of design and an afternoon of development, but there's stuff in all the development talks for designers, and there's stuff in the design talks for developers. We mm-hmm. arrange people in terms of like, this is very serious, and then this person lightens the mood. I mean, really, really, mm-hmm. really like a playlist. And we have, you know, packets like Val, after lunch the first day, Val Head will talk about CSS animation. And then we have the two, Rachel Andrew on graduating to Grid, how to transition to Grid, and Jen Simmons closing that afternoon with designing with Grid and really looking at all kinds of examples of design. We'll have a morning on product with Daniel Burka from Google Ventures and Donna Leecha talking about story first, you know, how to craft products that actually engage people's emotions. And then Cassie McDaniel closing that morning with that product morning with when and where to add, you know, the last 10%, the polish that matters. So every little section of time is, as Eric says, takes on a different aspect of what we do. And our hope is that by the end of the 3 days, it's possible to cover everything, obviously, but you'll have a really strong sense of what's happening in the field, what's coming next, where your work fits in, and what immediate things you can do to improve your work and your value as a member of a design development team.
Yeah.
I touched on, I read that article, a little piece of that article, and that was just one person that took the time to write about it. And there's been several recently. But I can tell you personally, Defenders, I've been to two An Event Apart conferences, and by far my favorite conference. I mean, there's just so much planning that goes into this. There's just, again, speakers, some of the best speakers in our field are on that stage, and the food is incredible. I'm serious. I mean, that's like the best food I've ever had at a conference. All the details, all the little details. I mean, even down to the food. That's why I mentioned it. And accommodations and everything. It's just, there's just a ton that's put into this for you, for us.
Right.
I've had some wonderful conversations over lunch with some attendees. I've kept in touch with some of these folks. And it's just, I can't say enough about it. And this December 11th through 13th, is Denver. There's still some tickets available. I don't know how many, but it's going to sell out, I promise you. And I want to tell you that our friends, Jeffrey and Eric, have generously offered User Defenders an exclusive $100 off using coupon code AEAUD at checkout. And I'll be sure to put a link to the conference, to the event. You can learn more about the speakers and the topics being discussed. And User Defenders will be there. We're doing a live episode, and I'm so excited about it. That's really it, guys. That's all I have. Do you want to add anything? Any safety tips or hairstyling advice?
I don't ski.
Yeah.
But if I did, I've skied once. But if you like to ski, Denver is a very good spot for it. Food and Wi-Fi. Yes, we bring our own Wi-Fi. That's Toby. We never trust. We love the hotels. We trust the hotels, but we bring our own Wi-Fi anyway. So because
that's incredible.
So that you are connected, because even though we want you paying attention, and we have like a Slack channel and other ways that you can sort of merge, chat with other people during the actual sessions, we want you to pay attention. But we also know that if you need to get contacted by your office, you can. It's very important too. So I guess that's a safety tip. If you're worried that you'll be cut off from your office, you won't be. And even at 25,000 feet above sea level or wherever we're going, you will be fine. And we're really thrilled to be in Denver. We can't wait to do this with you and with the people there.
Yeah. Denver's a city we've thought about for years now, and it's finally come together, and I'm super excited about it. Looking forward to seeing you again, Jason, and I hope we'll see User Defenders. Maybe we'll set up a User Defenders table at lunch for people who listen to the show to hang out. Well,
Hey, that'd be awesome. I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be sure to find me, Defenders, and at the event. And I know you know, some of you may be going like, oh my gosh, I want to be there. I don't know how to do it. You know, maybe guys, I know that there's budgets, a lot of companies and listeners, you know, look into that. Delicately ask your manager about, you know, what budget's available. And certainly a lot of times that budget, if it's not, you know, it's kind of use it or lose it. And the end of the year is coming up soon. Look into that. Dig into that. It is incredible. And get, you know, you can find it. I'm sure you can find a decent flight rate. But any advice on that, guys, for the defenders listening? They're like, I want to be there, but I don't know if I can swing it with my boss or whatnot.
What's the best airline for getting to Denver? What are the airlines with the most options, the most flights, the most direct flights? Denver?
I'd say Southwest.
Southwest, okay.
I'd say Southwest and incredible rates. Like, I mean, I'm seeing like $60 rates right now to California from Denver, one way.
Southwest, yeah. They have flights Chicago to and New York. They're all over the place, yeah. And they do offer very discounted flights. The other interesting thing about Southwest is that there's no reserved seating. So you can spend $65 on a flight and really luck out, or you can spend a lot more and be in the middle. And, you know,
that's true.
My favorite are the Southwest flights that have the seats that face backwards. I always try to grab those. But anyway,
is there really do they really do that? No,
they don't. I know they have in the past. I don't know if they still have that on their flights, but yes, there were seats that faced backwards at least at one point. I know this because I sat in one and like watched the ground go away as we took off. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
But at any rate,
maybe you could sit in the cockpit.
Yeah, you probably can't do that anymore, would be my guess, but
no, you can't.
Do you like movies about gladiators?
This took a turn.
I do like gladiator movies.
Yes, well,
your point being,
you ever seen a grown man naked?
But what I would say for as I try desperately to get back on topic for those who are trying to get the budgetary approval.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I think our attendees find is not just that they have a good time, but they learn a ton that they can then take back to the office and share with their coworkers. You know, they have all the slide decks from the speakers. We put together a resources page for people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people often, like I often talk to people who say, yeah, I was here last year and I went back and I did a brown bag presentation for the team after I got back and everyone loved it. And so I'm back again this year. You know, it's not just, hey, I'm going to go to Denver and be in Denver. It's, I'm going to go learn a ton. And then not only is that going to make me better, it's going to help me help my team be better and help us all get ahead of the curve. Maybe get a jump on our competition because we heard about what's coming next. Not, you know, we heard about what to do now, like what the cool stuff is now and what the important stuff is now, but also what's about to happen. Like the same way that the people who were there at Event Apart in 2010 had probably a year or two's jump on the rest of the industry when it came to responsive web design, because that's when Ethan did his talk. And, you know, the people who were there were the ones who were likely to have a responsive web design before really anybody else. And so we've always like looked to do that. And, so, you know, you come back to the team and say, I heard about this, you know, thing. There was this topic that was being discussed and it's coming like really soon. Here's a situation. We need to get up to speed so that we can be on top of that when the wave hits, whatever that is.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Eric. I think that's a great way, Defenders, to sell that is like, I'm not just going there for myself. Like I'm going to come back. Like you talk to your manager, I'm going to come back and I'm going to set an appointment. I'm going to set a meeting and I'm going to download the whole team on what I learned and whoever wants to come, maybe the developer team wants to come too, invite them too.
Right.
I love it. Well, right on, guys. This has been so amazing. I so appreciate you guys taking the time to do this. I believe in an Event Apart. That's why I wanted to do this. Not just cause I'm humbled and honored to be invited to be a part of this. But I really am.
We are thrilled to work with you. We're thrilled to work with you.
Oh man.
You're a fantastic interviewer among many other achievements.
Oh.
You really listen. You're really great.
Thank you so much.
And a fantastic listener and interviewer means good UX person.
See?
So there you go.
Oh, bless you. I'm gonna write on that for a little while. Thank you so much. All right, guys. Well, hey, listeners, defenders, check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes. And until next time, fight on, my friends. Thank you.